Betches Media presents.
Will you suck?
I'm lit.
To fix this water problem.
Sorry to this man. You can have 100 people in the room.
And I. Oh, goodbye, Kyle.
At Betches.
Rise and shine.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I am Dylan Hafer, assistant editor at Betches Media.
I'm Sarah Levine, editor-in-chief at Betches.com.
And I'm Gilana Jaffe. I'm the consumer insights manager at Betches.
Welcome to the podcast, Gilana. It's your first time.
I know.
So you crunch all the numbers here, and I've been told that this episode is already our best performing podcast episode ever.
Oh, it is off the charts. Literally.
Millions of downloads. Millions and millions.
Wow, so weird.
What can I say? We are a winning team, clearly. So if you are new to the show, this is our At Betches podcast. It used to be Betchlapped. We did a little rebrand this year. Every week we go through the biggest stories in pop culture, some stuff that might be going on around the office. It's just a big ol' At Betches fun time.
Yes, we're going to change the name of the podcast to that now.
Big ol' Betches fun time coming February 2020. That is going to be a winner. Okay, so today on the show, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. First of all, we are going to talk about the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant and 8 others in a helicopter crash this weekend. I know that was like a really, really tough thing to work through, and just a really, really crazy thing that happened. So we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Grammys that happened this weekend a little bit. We've got an update on Jade Tolbert's DraftKings prize, lack thereof.
Oops.
And then we're going to talk about The Circle on Netflix a little bit, which I know Sarah is raring to go to talk about The Circle.
Can't wait. Let's skip to that.
And then, Sarah, what do we have going on at the end of the show?
All right, well, later in the episode, I'm going to be interviewing Neve and Cammie, the hosts of the new season of MTV's Catfish. Neve, you guys already know, but Cammie's a new one. She's really cool. Stay tuned for that. We're also launching some new newsletters. So if you want to get like all your news for a specific topic in one place, sign up. The best one right now is the Bachelor newsletter. It's going great. It's all your Bachelor content that you could ever want. So go to betches.co/bachelorbreakdown. It's BETCHELOR breakdown. So sign up for there. If you want like your regular pop culture stuff, kind of like what we're talking about right now, sign up for the Betches newsletter at betches.co/betches newsletter. Real inventive. And of course, the SUP. If you need political news explained to you in a funny way, then go to betches.co/SUP newsletter and sign up now. What else happened? We had the Not Another True Crime podcast first live show on Friday.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, Dylan has no voice. I know. I feel like I don't either, but I'm not sure.
I'm on the mend.
Yeah, but it went really well. It was super fun. So if you are listening to this and you came out, thank you so much. If you took Pinot Grigio shots, thank you. We emptied the bar of all their Pinot Grigio.
I was so impressed when I heard about that because I mean, I'm no like bartender. I don't do math. I don't know how many like bottles of Pinot Grigio they have, but
me either.
It's impressive.
Thank you. I don't know why that became like the thing of our podcast was Pinot Grigio shots. But since then, it just kind of took on a life of its own.
Was the Pinot Grigio consumed exclusively in shot form?
Some people ordered glasses and Casey bought a bottle so that she could like dole out shots to everyone in plastic shot glasses that she brought.
That's commitment.
Yeah, because we didn't want to make the bartenders watch a million shot glasses. We're like, that's going to be really douchey and they're going to hate us forever.
That's so considerate of you. Considering that you spent an hour talking about murder.
Yeah.
Like, but we wouldn't want to make them watch the shot glasses.
Yep, the least we could do.
Okay, so like I said, we do need to talk about the tragic accident that claimed the lives of Kobe Bryant and 8 others. The other victims were Kobe's daughter, Gianna Bryant, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, Ara Zobian, and Christina Mauser. Obviously, just a terrible thing that happened. Gilana, I know you're from Los Angeles, big basketball fan.
Yes.
What was it like for you on Sunday hearing about it?
I had an old coworker text me and say, like, did you hear the news? Do you know what happened? And it was pretty early on. I think it was around like 2 or 3. I don't think anything had been confirmed just yet. And I immediately sat down on my couch and started scrolling through Twitter and ESPN to see if the news, anything to see if anything was updated and confirmed. And I was just like a super of shock for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a wild ride. I literally just happened to be, I was at a cornhole game. Don't judge. And I happened to be on Twitter and saw some girl retweet the TMZ thing and just wrote, what the fuck? And I was like, wait, what the fuck? This was like really like right around two. And I go to TMZ and I'm like, what's going on? And then I feel like there was this weird, like, this weird denial effect where everyone's like, no, TMZ was hacked. Like, this has got to be fake.
Yeah.
And then, it was really bleak.
Does TMZ get hacked? Like,
that's a thing. I feel like people are like, oh, no, it's TMZ. I'm like, yeah, exactly. TMZ is never wrong about this shit, really. So, like, once TMZ is reporting on it, I'm like, this is probably unfortunately true.
I feel like it's very much the kind of situation where it's like you hope and pray that it's like the 1% that they're getting it wrong.
Yeah.
TMZ are assholes, but they're rarely incorrect.
Usually right. Yeah. I mean, they'll be wrong about like inconsequential stuff, I feel they're not. I don't think they've ever reported on like a divorce or a death or something like that that's been completely wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I was just like walking around in the city because the weather was really nice. And I saw someone post on Instagram like, something about Kobe, and I googled his name, and it was crazy because just on Saturday night LeBron James passed him in the all-time scoring records. And so I just saw that article. It was before like the news like updates had been put on, and so I was like reading that. I'm like, oh, that's cool, like LeBron said nice things about Kobe. And then like 5 minutes later I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah. I watched that game. I remember like that was the first thing that I thought
of. Was
that
the one you were at?
No.
Oh.
It was in Philadelphia. My mom actually texted me, was like, oh, you're watching at home. I thought you would have gone to Philly. And I was like, that would have been too much.
Nothing is worth going to Philly for. I'm sorry.
Gilana's like who went to college, an actual basketball fan, like not just like I like the Lakers.
Yeah. No, true basketball fan. I got to ask this. How upset were you? Like, I literally had someone cancel plans on me, and I was like, I kind of get it, but also I'm like, I don't feel that attached to celebrities that I think I would feel it on a personal level.
I think when I first heard it, I felt like sort of the same shock and like sadness that you would feel when you hear any sort of like great tragedy that happens and unfortunately happens all too often. But I think that it only really started to hit me when I started looking at like the players' tributes and the different people. Like I turned on like the Pro Bowl to watch the coverage that was intermittent. I didn't really know like where to find the news, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was where like it really started to hit me, because I think that this is somebody that like obviously his impact spread much wider than basketball. But when you hear people who know him personally talk about him and talk about his daughter and like that was just like really.
Yeah. Has there been a celebrity death for you guys that like you still haven't gotten over? I was talking about this with my friends. For me, it's Robin Williams. I'm like,
oh, how's interesting.
He not? I just like, I almost forget. I'm in this like weird denial space that he's not still out here like doing movies and stuff.
Whitney Houston was a tough one for me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that it's like I'm not over it, but like that's one that I still think about and I'm like, damn, that makes me really sad.
Yeah. Dark notes, but
yeah, it is interesting when stuff like this happens, and not just like celebrities dying, but like any kind of tragic news like that. It's interesting. You never really know kind of like which one is going to hit you harder than the other. Cause you know, I mean, yeah, like you were saying, like crazy stuff happens all the time and we're kind of desensitized to it. But for whatever reason, this one really, I think everyone kind of like felt it.
Yeah.
In a deep way. And I think partially because it was, you know, so surprising. He's somebody who is, I mean, he wasn't old. Like he, you know, just retired a few years ago, obviously still had like so many years left of his career outside of playing basketball.
I also think, especially when you're talking about athletes, like, first of all, like everybody knows who Kobe Bryant is. Like I was obviously even sad and like shocked when the news first came out. But especially with athletes, you think of them as these like larger than life people. They're like almost superhuman in the way that we revere them. And also just the fact that they're like supremely physically capable. So you don't think that like someone like that could die in this like horrible, tragic accident. And I think that also factors in.
Yeah. I read an article. I can't remember who wrote it, but somebody said something about like, it's ironic that somebody who like was able to elevate himself in his game and always sort of like jumping, that he would be the one to fall out of the sky.
Ugh.
Mm.
hate that.
I need everyone to stop taking helicopters.
Like, that's beautiful language, but I'm like, oh God, that's terrible irony.
Yeah.
I need everyone to stop taking helicopters. It's...
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah, Uber helicopter, don't do it.
Yeah, why is it that Uber doesn't have like an Uber pool option for people who are all going to the same airport, but they have a copter option? Yeah,
like, nobody asked for this.
I really don't understand.
Like, nobody needs a blade to JFK.
Yeah. My friend was actually talking about taking one yesterday. She was like, maybe. It's like, it could be $150 and your cab could be that much. And I was like, I don't know where you're coming from, but like, unless you're coming from New Jersey, your cab is not costing that much.
Also, like, not to be that person, but we live in New York and public transportation is probably the most reliable situation that you can have to get to the airport. I don't like,
reliable. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean though.
Cheapest option. Yeah, I'll take it back.
Yeah. A swipe of the MetroCard is definitely cheaper than my Uber to LaGuardia, but I choose the Uber every single time.
I guess as someone who doesn't fly out of LaGuardia, I don't really understand.
Can't relate.
And now this podcast is deeply unrelatable to anyone who doesn't live in New York City.
Sorry.
But yeah, no, I think it was crazy because we had already planned to watch the Grammys and cover the Grammys on Sunday night. And so then, like, honestly, once I heard the initial news about Kobe, obviously there was that that time period where it was just, you know, thinking about that and how terrible it is and how sad it is. And then I realized that the Grammys are at the Staples Center, mm-hmm. which is where Kobe played for his entire career. And I'm like, oh,
I think you even said in our group chat, you're like, they're playing in his house. And then Alicia Keys said it too. And I was like, wow,
Dylan. It's just like,
but yeah, it was just an
of
extra.
all the things for it to be like an event in LA, and like Kobe was active in the entertainment industry. So like so many of those people not only, you know, watched him play basketball, but were friends with him or had professional connections.
Oscar, so.
I know.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a short a couple of years ago called Dear Basketball.
Wow.
And it won an Oscar.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm sure there'll be a tribute there as well. But
good point.
Watching the like E red carpet show for the Grammys was like, it was kind of like an out of body experience because mm-hmm. the whole time I just felt like I was just nervous the whole time because I was like, oh God, like who's going to say what? Like, how do you do it? And like, a lot of it was pretty normal. Like, they weren't asking every single person about Kobe or anything, but there were just like certain moments where it's like, oh, this feels so gross. Like,
yeah, didn't you say? I mean, at one point they were just kind of reading like a live feed of tweet reactions, you said.
Yeah. So like on E! News, it's funny because they have like Ryan and Juliana who are like doing the interviews, and then they have their like B team that's like back in the studio somewhere.
The JB team.
And they're like, normally they would be like, oh my God, guys, can you believe how amazing everyone looks on the red carpet at the Grammys? But like, because they were in panic mode, they had made those people be like the Kobe reporters.
Oh boy.
And so it'd be like, you know, Juliana's like thanks, Ariana Grande, you look amazing, have fun. And then now back to them, and they're like, yes, so we have more tweets pouring in from celebrities. And it was like, you know, some of the messages they were reading were really nice, but it was kind of like, this isn't the, like, why?
An inappropriate juxtaposition.
It's awkward. It was awkward all around. I feel like on the one hand, there were a lot of tributes to him during the Grammys, which I thought was great. But the overall mood was just weird because it's supposed to be this celebratory event, but nobody felt like celebrating. Like,
right.
It was weird all around.
Yeah. And I mean, the Grammys are kind of a weird, I always have like mixed feelings about them because like on paper, it seems like they should always be the most exciting of the big award shows.
It's music.
You have all these amazing performers. They're performing. But for some reason, it always falls a little flat to me. I think it's almost like they throw too many things at the wall
to see what sticks.
And then like nobody actually cares about the music or about the awards. Because like when you watch the Golden Globes or something, like the reason you want to watch is the awards. Like, it's exciting to see who wins the awards. And at the Grammys, it's kind of like, okay, so we did four performances, so now we'll do Best Country Duo. Yay!
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the skills I've learned is how to manage my time. It's not always obvious. Sometimes we're spending time with people that don't make us feel good. We don't even realize, or we're doing activities that aren't actually bringing ourselves any joy, but we're just doing them because we've always done them. So therapy can really help you untangle all of that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
I also feel like, at least for me, and like Dylan, you probably feel the same way because we watch year after year and cover it. Like,
yes.
Yeah, we're like, kill me. I've been through a war. but to me, I think the Grammys have kind of lost all respect. Like, people who know shit about music are basically like, these awards are meaningless. You have these out of touch, random ass white people who are rigging this entire thing. Like, that came out earlier, like, yeah, 10 days before, that they had just rigged the voting process. So it's like, there's not even that buildup anymore. It's like, we don't even care who wins the awards because, you know, it doesn't really mean anything and it's not reflective.
Yeah,
that's my personal feeling anyway.
Also, they put like all the most important awards. I mean, every award show does this to the end of the night, but it's sort of like to a point that I'm not gonna lie, I turned off my TV before we got to the end.
I watched until 11 and yeah, I was like, that's fucking enough.
Too
like
much.
This shit was, I was still like Twitter scrolling in bed close to midnight,
yeah,
and they were just announcing the winners of the big four awards, and I was like, this is ridiculous. It doesn't need to be 4 hours. You could make it 1.5 if you really tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, it's like, I felt like it was like 30 minutes of the show before they even did an award. And then when they did, it was like, you know, yeah, like they need to balance it a little more, because it's also the way they hype everything up on TV is so funny, because in real life, you have like Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes, and every single person I've ever spoken to in real life is fucking sick of them.
Yeah.
And thinks they're ridiculous and a fake couple and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then you turn on the TV and I don't know who's getting paid what money. But first of all, you have the red carpet show where they're like, will we see Sean and Camila together? Oh my God, the perfect couple. Will we see PDA on the red carpet? And they're acting like it's like Barack and Michelle Obama, everyone's favorite couple. And then the show comes on and they're like, you guys, we're only 12 minutes away from Camila Cabello's performance. And it's like, nobody cares.
No one's tuned in for that. I wanted to see Lizzo. My live stream didn't get set up in time, so I'm bummed. I wanted to see Ariana Grande. And like, that's it.
I'm not going to lie, though. I loved it. I cried. It
really?
Was so beautiful and emotional. She sang it to, she sang the song about like loving her dad.
First man,
it was just
yeah,
like,
see, I actually thought it was really hilarious because they were being deliberately ambiguous when they were teasing the performance about whether she was going to be singing to Sean.
I know.
They were like, Camila Cabello sings to the first man she's ever loved. Like, will we see them together on stage? And then it's like, you think she's going to be like horny for Sean?
Yeah, that's a weird ass
and
twist.
Then it's like, nope, it's my dad.
Yeah, they didn't need to promote it that way.
How many father-daughter dances do you think are going to be to that now?
Oh my God.
Ugh,
I am,
you're right.
I'm low-key ashamed to say that I actually kind of really like Camila Cabello's new album. What can I say? I like the art, not the artist.
Yeah, okay.
That's fair. I'm actually surprised that they really celebrated her in this way, given that, like, what, a week ago, all of her racist tweets came out?
Oh, yeah. She had,
What happened?
Oh, my God.
She had
a Tumblr that she stupidly never deleted.
Oh, no.
And it
no.
was literally just, like, it wasn't, I don't know, it was just, like, full-on racist stuff. Like,
yeah.
I can't even describe to you because it was literally just like, picture something that's a blatantly racist statement. And that was what she would be posting.
Yikes.
And she was like a teenager, I think. And it was just the kind of thing where it's like,
but these people, it's like, okay, listen, we're all young. None of us, I mean, we were teenagers a long time ago, but she wasn't a teenager that long ago. Right.
Right.
So it's like,
it's just like, she has so many publicists and agents and managers, and it's like, delete the Tumblr.
I know, it's like the Vanderpump Rules people. I'm like, you honestly didn't go back through your own tweets?
I know. And at that point, it's like, just delete your Twitter. Just
yeah,
make it, just start
delete
over
your account.
I did that. I I was very into Twitter in high school. I would tweet like 50 times a day sometimes.
Oh my God. Like what? Like, ugh, lunch is pizza again.
Yeah. No, like literally I would live tweet my life. And I think I had like 15,000 tweets or something ridiculous. And like freshman year of college, I deleted my whole Twitter because I was like, I don't know what I said. I mean, like, trust me, I was not out there using like Vanderpump Rules racist language, right, for sure. But it's just the kind of thing where it's like, there's 15,000 tweets. I don't want to be like, you know, I just deleted it and started
also,
over.
Also, everything like can be taken out of context as well. Like, you don't know what can be misconstrued.
Yeah. I did go back through my old Twitter too that I started in college, which like, again, I used to just tweet random observations, but then I was just looking through and I was like, I gotta delete this shit because it was all just really bad dad jokes.
Wait, I love that.
I know, but I was like, this is embarrassing. I don't want anyone to find this. Delete.
I think I have maybe like 20 tweets on my Twitter.
There you go.
And they are divided into like 3 about The Bachelor, 3 about sports, and maybe retweets to try and win tickets to Book of Mormon.
You know what? Yes. I'm sure zero of them are problematic. So yeah. That's what counts.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember on a related note, when I was a freshman in college, it was like the biggest trend was to like backstalk your new friends Facebook and like comment on their old embarrassing statuses and pictures.
My friends are still doing that shit. I'm like, you're all blocked.
And so I had like one class freshman year of college that was not that stimulating. And so I would literally just sit there on my computer for the entire 50 minutes and just go back and delete old Facebook statuses.
Honestly, it's not the pictures. It's the statuses. It's like, why did I write that shit?
It's like, I have no clue what the fuck I was talking about. The pictures are bad too. Like, oh, God. I couldn't even start doing makeup until last year, let's be real.
In 2009, I tweeted, or I made Facebook statuses several times per each new episode of Glee. it would be like, Glee tonight, can't wait. Glee starts in an hour. OMG. Glee is starting right now.
Oh, my God.
And then there would be ones like 30 minutes later that's like, ugh, Quinn Fabray is such a skank.
Mine were significantly more moody. They were just like, oh, history homework. I can't even deal with this right now. What is my life? I'm so upset. And I was just like, why? Why was I so upset about history that? It was fine.
If you didn't make statuses about homework, then you're probably too young to listen to this podcast.
I can't believe that.
My personal favorite moment of the Grammys was probably Demi Lovato's performance.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of hers, and to see her back after like a year and a half after her overdose and like near death experience, it was just like, oh, it was very inspirational to me.
Yeah. And at first I thought her sound fucked up and that was why she had to restart. And I was like, oh, my God, no, it was because she was too emotional. Like,
yeah.
And that song was really just, it was such a like raw emotional song. It was pretty much like a diary entry. It was hard not to get emotional.
She wrote it 4 days before overdose, which like clearly shows you what kind of place of pain that she was in.
Right.
It's crazy. She's doing the national anthem at the Super Bowl this weekend. And it's like, she signed with Scooter Braun and he got her those gigs. Come on.
Yes,
like,
she's on the upswing. You love to see it.
I know. Any other Grammys moments that you guys want to talk about?
I think my favorite outfit moment was Alicia Keys wearing a crop t-shirt and jeans in her performance.
Was that the pink? No, I loved the pink crop top that she wore when she was like walking in the audience.
No, it was later on when she performed. I actually really like her new song Underdog, but
I didn't listen to it.
So she performed it a little bit later in the show.
Oh,
and
that's after
it's after my bedtime.
She was wearing like sort of sequiny flare jeans and like a white crop t-shirt, and I was like, this is the look that I want in my life always.
I loved when she went through the crowd and was like trying to introduce random celebrities. Like, these bitches aren't all on Raya or have publicists to do that for them.
She's like Keith Urban, have you said hi to whoever this person is? And it's like, no.
Yeah,
no, they haven't said hi.
Right, if they wanted to, they would make it happen. They don't need you as a conduit.
My favorite part of that introduction was when she was like, oh, yeah, like people that you don't even know. And then she turns to like the two people that she obviously knows because she was a coach on The Voice with them, like Blake and Gwen.
Oh my God.
Just like, yeah, okay.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Blake and Gwen make me upset. Like, I just never wanted see them or hear about them, like, oh,
I had a true moment where I thought he was going to propose at their song that they were singing about their love for one another forever, and then that would have been too much.
I love, like, when they perform together and he's wearing, like, the most plain outfit, and she comes out wearing, like, her, like, Candyland princess dress with, like, a literal crown on her head.
Yeah.
And it's like their energy is, like, so odd together, but at the same time, like, I can't imagine a more perfect couple.
I know what
it
you
just
mean.
Works.
Yeah. I have no thoughts on that.
What did you guys think about Billie Eilish winning all the awards?
So someone asked me this, and actually I'm like pretty indifferent. I'm like, good for her. Like, she deserves it. I feel like the Grammys could have done something a little more out of the box. Lizzo deserved at least one of those. Mm-hmm. But at least they didn't do their typical Grammy shit of like, oh, who's this old guy from 75 years ago? Let's give him the awards.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciated that they at least are like embracing what's like happening in music right mm-hmm. now.
Right. It's like, all right, we got younger people. We got women. We need some people of color in here. That's clearly not on the Grammys radar.
I thought it was kind of wild that for the nominees of Song of the Year, there was only one man.
Woo!
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Lewis
Capaldi. Yeah.
First of all, who is he? I kept seeing in the promos. Song. I'm like, who is this like Ed Sheeran knockoff?
Yes,
I got it from listening to him
Wait,
now.
Wait, did you see the video though? Somebody asked him in an interview. They were like, what does it feel like to be nominated for a Grammy? And he's like, well, it's like that feeling when you're laying down in bed and you eat a whole chicken pan.
I saw that.
And you're just happy. I'm like, honestly, I love that.
All right, I'll give him a listen.
Yeah, I mean, someone you loved is like, his voice does not match up with his image.
Not at all. But yeah. I mean, like Ed Sheeran also. Yep. I think that's a very similar comparison.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't work in America, but it works in other countries.
It only works if you have an accent.
Literally.
Billie Eilish, the only song of hers that I'd actually heard was Bad Guy. And
oh, really?
So when she was nominated, I was just like, does she sing? And then in her performance, I was like, holy shit, this girl is amazing.
Her mm-hmm. album is really good. It was yep. it was one of my favorites of last year, so I was not upset. I will say, after she won all her Grammys, I was like, oh, she's going on tour this spring. Like, that would be fun. And so I go on StubHub.
Oh, no.
The tickets are like fucking $400. So I'm like, nobody Billie Eilish's age can afford to go to this concert.
No.
It's literally all just people whose parents like took the friend group to the concert and are going to buy them all the t-shirts. And I'm like, me, a humble 24-year-old, like, humble. I just want to buy a ticket.
Humble 24-year-old with an income.
Like, I've been priced out of a Billie Eilish literally, concert.
Bleak.
Yeah, it's not in the cards for me, sadly, but
no.
I'm sure it'll be a fun time had by all the 15-year-old girls.
Who, like, can't even appreciate what's going on. I'm like, what do you guys know from like emotional turbulence? You're 15. Come on.
It is funny because like when we were younger, I feel like the concerts that everyone was going to were like the Jonas Brothers, Hannah yep. Montana, like Taylor Swift a little bit. And it's like those were just supposed to be fun.
I know. Kids. I know this sounds like really ridiculous, but I feel like kids these days are like so fucked up. Like all the music is so emotional and emo. And like our emo shit was like Panic at the Disco, which was like, not really emo. And like,
do not forget Boy. About Simple Plan.
Okay,
if
yeah.
you didn't sit oh. and scream and cry in your room to Simple Plan,
yeah,
you never had an emotional like, moment as a child.
Yeah. But I feel like the Gen Z music is like, oh shit, like this is really dark if you listen to the lyrics, yeah. you know?
Yeah, they're spending too much time on TikTok. They're just like, they have too much access to like content.
Right.
Like when we were kids, it was just like, yeah, I don't know. I like the Disney Channel.
Yeah. I'm like, start dating in New York and then talk to me about depression.
Billie Eilish she literally has like never dated anyone. She's like, she said that she's never like drank or done drugs at all, which like, good. That's
honestly,
good.
But please don't start.
But it's just like, if this is like her headspace, like right now as like a teenager who like,
is making music in her bedroom with her brother.
Right. It's like, damn, put her in some bubble wrap because I'm a little nervous.
Oh, no. I will say on the one hand, though, like when you are a teenager, everything is just so melodramatic. Like,
that's true.
That you can stub your toe and you're like, oh, my God, I'm dying. Like the smallest, like someone can say something kind of dumb to you and it's the biggest deal. So I do understand like why the kids are feeling so much feelings.
We sound like we are 1,000 years old. Like, yeah,
I'm not even 30.
Like, in my expert opinion, the children these days.
Yes. Having been born in 1992, I really feel like I'm qualified.
Yes, 1991 up in here. I got this. I'm an expert.
I'll sit down with my 1995 birthday.
What? Ooh. Wow. That's crazy.
I can't help it that I was so young.
Oh my God. Ugh, the youths.
Okay. Any other Grammys thoughts before we move on?
I'm good. Yeah. They need to shorten that shit. It was literally 4 hours. When they market it as three, and I'm like, okay, that's barely doable. And then that shit was still going. Also, they used to put the best new artists in the beginning, which I thought was nice because it's like, okay, we can get one thing that I care about in the end versus now, which is this clear, shameless attempt to make you fucking watch the whole thing.
It's like the Oscars. They usually do like best supporting actor or something kind of right at the beginning. Yes. And it's like, you got to hook me in.
Exactly.
Like, even if Lizzo is amazing, like, you got to give an award that people care about.
Also, all award shows, they need to stop doing like the presenter to the presenter to the performance. Like, please, just put them on.
Also, we're here for the performances and the awards. Yeah. That's the goal. Like, we don't really care about like this one person saying like, and now a few words from this other person.
Yeah, like Greta Gerwig is amazing, but does she need to come up to announce the next person to do the next? Like, I'm tired.
Okay, so basically moral of the story, Grammys, you're too long and too... Do better.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Storyworth. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. Just in time for Mother's Day, I have found the perfect gift that captures all of her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from the lives of your family members and loved ones for years to come. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. For example, have you ever wished to be a celebrity? Did you ever take any great road trips? How is life different today compared to when you were a child? All they need to do is respond to that email with the answer to the question. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of their responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. So you'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories that you already know, or you can be surprised by the stories you've never heard before all year long. Then after that year, Storyworth will compile every story and photo into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I'm so excited about this gift, not only to get the stories throughout the year, but to finally get a book where all of this can be saved forever in a physical object. So this Mother's Day, give all of the moms or parents in your life a unique heartfelt gift that you will all cherish for years. That's Storyworth. And right now, you can save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/betches. That's storyworth.com/betches to save $10 on your first purchase.
We definitely need to talk about Jade Roper Tolbert, Bachelor alum, married to Tanner, because this story is just the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
So a few weeks ago on, I believe, the inaugural episode of At Betches, we talked about Jade winning her $1 million fantasy football prize. And some allegations that she may have cheated, and we have an update.
Surprise!
She cheated! DraftKings put out a statement that was basically like, we updated the standings of some contests. That's all we're going to say. And of course, like the sleuths on the internet who like know how these things work figured out that they like removed her name from the standings. So
it's also just like, okay, you're a husband and wife team. Obviously, there's going to be some helping each other in this situation, but like, be better. Have a little bit of plausible deniability. Don't do like these lineups that exactly are slightly different enough. What was it, like 150 unique lineups for each of them?
Yeah. Yes. So it was 300 total lineups, all of which were. None of them overlapped completely.
The thing with that is like, I'm not even, I can't even feel that bad because first of all, there would already be more scrutiny on them because they're like famous adjacent. Mm-hmm. And also she tweeted about it. Like no one would have really, I think it would have caught people a little bit to catch on. Like you'd have to, it would have to get sent to like the Bachelor subreddit before we had learned that she won. Except she got all high and mighty and decided to tweet about it. And then everyone was like, wait, this seems sketchy. I feel like she played herself.
Oh, she absolutely played herself from the beginning by making her username on DraftKings at Jade Eliz Roper.
Because oh my God.
That's the whole reason people found out in the first place, because they were like, is this you? And she was like, yeah.
And then she tweeted and was like, haha, good thing I didn't listen to my husband, LOL. And then everyone's like, did you though?
I was like, girl, you did.
Oops.
I thought it was funny though, because I kind of thought they were going to let them get away with it, because even after the initial like winning was announced, DraftKings like tweeted at her and they were like, will you accept this rose?
Whoops.
And so it's like now they look like Boo Boo the Fool, because they were like playing into it and like getting that clout of like being with her on social media. And now it's like, oh, you should have not said
anything.
They
didn't really vet it before they sent out that tweet, for sure.
I also just like wouldn't be surprised if people who've won before have done the exact same thing. It's just the fact that like,
yeah,
they are famous already, because it's like, if you just won it, no one's gonna know enough about you to go digging into your family history, right?
Right, because it's like, if it was like Gilana J and Sarah L won, like, nobody would be like, oh, I bet Gilana had somebody she collaborated with.
I feel like I would have to do a different name. Probably my Starbucks name, Rose. Gilana J is a little too unique.
Your
still.
Starbucks name is Rose?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you don't even say like Jillian or anything?
Because that's like too close to my name and it's wrong. So I wanted to choose something that was like, this is definitely not it. I've chosen it. It's like,
I would be like standing there for 10 minutes and then being like, oh, right, I'm someone else.
The first time I was with you at Starbucks, I was like very taken aback. I was like, who the fuck is Rose?
Yeah, I've done this since like seventh grade.
Oh, so my gosh.
Like, nope.
What?
Wow, she's sneaky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out here with a whole new identity.
She's how would I do on the circle?
Honestly, you do pretty well.
Gilana's catfishing Starbucks.
But I do want to talk about the circle. You guys, it's literally, I tell everyone this, I'm like, it's the only thing I care about that's not an exaggeration, sadly. I started watching The Real Housewives of Potomac, so maybe a little bit of that. But it's amazing. The format's not going to make sense. It sounds terrible, but it's basically catfish mixed with Big Brother. So they take all these people, they put them in these separate one-bedroom apartments, which, first of all, I'm sold on that alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would absolutely spend 15 days in this apartment.
Yeah,
they're beautiful.
Yeah. And so they can only talk to each other via this, like, voice-activated platform, which is really just an intern, like, typing their shit. They're basically... They're just like IMing to each other, and they can set up a profile. They choose a few pictures, like three, I think. They can pick anyone's pictures that they want in the world. So it's really fun, because some of them are themselves. Some of them are catfishing, and it's like they do all these like dumb challenges, like trivia and stuff, to try to figure out who's who.
The show's been out for like a couple weeks. They released the episodes in like chunks. I had completely avoided it. Like, I saw people posting about it on social media. I heard Sarah talking about it every single day.
Yes, it's true.
And I was like, whatever. Like, I don't really have like the mental bandwidth for a new show right now. And then when I found out we were talking about this today, I was like, okay, I'll go home. Like, I'll watch an episode, maybe two, like whatever.
Dylan was like, fine.
I was like, yeah, fine. Like, I don't want to know nothing. So I went home and I watched five episodes.
Yes.
I woke up early this morning to watch the first episode.
Yes!
I'm hooked. I have to watch
more.
The thing
is, it sounds so boring, and it is, but like for some reason, it's just so captivating.
Yeah.
I think just because they did a great job with casting.
Yeah. When I watched the preview on Netflix, I was like, okay, like maybe I'll watch this at some point. And now that I have had a reason to, I'm just like, I can't stop.
It's great. You'll fall in love with like almost all the people. They're so great.
It's funny though to watch like the catfishing in action, because like when you watch Catfish, it's like you mostly watch like the aftermath, kind of, that it's like they tell you about like, oh yeah, it's been 6 months that I've been talking, blah 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 blah, like outlining why they're a dumbass. But then like you mostly just see like the confrontation and like, you know, how they deal with it. But on this show, it's funny because you get to watch them thinking through the process of catfishing someone, and some of them are definitely better at it than others.
Yeah, some of them are really bad.
It's so interesting to watch like them message by message thinking about like, okay, they asked me this question, so I have to respond in a way that sounds real but also like doesn't sound like me. And it's like, it's so interesting to get into that mindset of like having to convince somebody else.
Yeah. I think the main thing watching The Circle that everybody does, but no one wants to admit it, you're all thinking through your strategy of what you would do if you were on this show, right?
Oh, absolutely.
What would you guys do? Would you catfish or not?
Do you know?
I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't. I would be too anxious. I'm like the kind of person that would be too stressed about being caught up in the lie that I'd have to go straight with it.
I think that would work out well for you.
Because
I feel like you'd go in there and you wouldn't be like, the thing that gets me is
you'd
the
be
people,
like Shuby. Like oh, too God. Innocent. We love Shuby.
The people on The Circle who feel like they need to flirt with everyone at all times, it's like, give it a rest. Like,
yeah.
That's not how people talk in real life. Like, and it's funny because they know that they're not actually going to be like hanging out together. Like, they're just stuck in these apartments. And so, like, when that girl, what's her name? Miranda. When she goes on and she's like, I'm definitely down to find a love connection on The Circle. And it's like, what show do you think you're on?
Like, they all acted like that. I'm like, guys, this is not a dating show. It's a popularity contest where you win $100,000.
I mean, like, I sort of understand it, though, because it's literally, this is what talking on dating apps is.
Literally.
In a sense.
And I know. I feel like I could be decent at this. Except no, because I need a whole army of people to compose one message.
That's so true.
That is, I
need like a phone a friend option in The Circle.
Not only because they're on television, but this is why they talk out loud to themselves. You have to do it. You can't like
one of them, Chris, he has this entire like notebook that he's handwriting everything.
Notebooks.
And then he's like, circle, say blank, hashtag Monique. Do you guys know what that means?
No.
No, I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, he goes, hashtag Monique. She'll know what it means.
I feel like he's gonna publish a memoir after this whole experience is over.
I would
like
read
my
the
experience
shit out of that.
On The Circle.
Well, then he sent it, one of the things, like the messages were anonymous, and he goes, damn Gina, anonymously. And the other girls are like, well, I know that's him because he always says like weird names.
Yeah.
I think I would probably catfish because like I'm the friend in my group who like I'm the one that helps everyone with their messages.
Yes. Okay. So, good like, to know.
I know, really, for the
and
future.
So, like, literally, I have these two friends that I'm in a group text with, and like it is like relentless how much they want to workshop the texts they will send these guys.
God.
Whereas I'm like, send the fucking text. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Okay. You'd be good at that then. Who would you catfish yourself as?
Ooh, good question.
I think I would probably pull like a Adam, where it's like just kind of like a hotter version of myself.
Yeah. I feel like these people go too crazy with the catfishing. Like, they don't just choose like a nice normal attractive person, they choose like an Instagram model.
What's crazy, I think, is the guy who's catfishing as his real life girlfriend.
Yes.
And he's so bad at it.
So bad.
I really wonder, I hope that they do like an end of season interview with the girlfriend being like, so how did he portray you?
I know,
how do you feel about your image now? Do people like,
yeah, it's crazy to think about, like, cause he's going on there and again, they have not met any of these people in real life. It's solely through these like DMs, basically.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, my heart is really opening up and I just can't explain how wonderful and exciting and thrilling that dinner was. And it's like, you were sitting in a room alone.
It's funny to watch them compose messages because it's so stilted. They're not just like, hey, circle, say what's up. They're like, circle, say what's up, question mark, emoji face. And this is how I know there's an intern composing this. Yeah. It's because they'll act out an emoji. Yeah. And then the circle will put that very emoji.
That's like
when you're walking in the cold and you're too, like, you can't text because your hands are in your pockets and you're trying to like get Siri to understand what you're saying and it's never correct. It has to be a person.
I was actually reading about like how the production for The Circle works, and apparently at any given time in the like control center there are like 20 to 30 people working.
No fucking way. I want that job.
Because they literally have to like dictate every single message.
Holy shit.
And, like, yeah, and you know they probably like, it's so funny because they will like, texting doesn't work like that. Like, you want it like voice to text to work like that, but you can't just be like, LOL, girl, you know. And it, like,
with like five eyes.
And then like
the emphasis also never translates. Like, you hear them talk to the circle and they're saying literally that and it comes out as LOL, girl.
LOL, girl, I was sweating.
Oh God, I love that show. And because I also just, I love the catfish element. Like, I've been watching Catfish seriously since college. It's just the best show. Like, you think that you would eventually be like too knowledgeable as a culture, as a society, right, for anyone to get catfished, but now these people are just getting catfished in increasingly more elaborate ways.
Okay, yeah. As someone who grew up without cable,
wait, same.
Can you?
I did for a while too.
We've talked about this before, okay, but yeah.
What is like the basic outline and premise of Catfish?
So Catfish is like, so a catfish now has become a term for someone who's like pretending to be somebody else online. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like these people who meet and they've been talking for like a million years, and one is always some like random ass regular person and one is always some model. You can guess which one is the catfish. And so they write in to Catfish on MTV and they're like, hey, I've been talking to this person for like 6 months, 12 years. It can literally be,
wow,
literally it goes on for so long. And it's like, but they can never video chat, and like every time we've tried to meet up they've made an excuse, and then she had cancer and died and then came back to life. These things literally happen to these people. It's, I'm sorry, nuts. What?
It's insane.
It's completely insane. So then they send Neve and now his new co-host Cammy to like suss out these people and investigate them and get them to meet up with the people they've been catfishing, and they do like a little therapy session type thing. Like, it is amazing.
Wow.
The funniest part of Catfish to me is that the first day when they meet in person and it's some like old dude that
yeah,
they're always like, they always act so like incredulous the first day, and they're like, yeah, I don't know, I don't know, I did it because it was fun, like, I don't know.
Yep.
And then they like come back the next day and they're like, you know, like, I really think we could be friends.
Yeah. And or the next, they're always like either that or they'll be really mean and they'll be like, fuck you, like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. And then the next day they'll be like in tears about how they were bullied about their weight or like whatever the heck. Like, they, oh, it's crazy because the first day they always just meet in the weirdest spots.
They're
too.
In like
it's
a like, parking lot.
It's always a parking lot or just like a random park. And I'm like, could you guys not film in a coffee shop like normal people? And they're like standing up, which I feel like always makes it awkward. And then so it always ends in like a fiasco. And then when they come back together, they always go to the person's house and they're like sitting on the couch having a nice heart to heart and everybody gets surreal. Is wild.
I feel like the only situation in which people would be comfortable meeting somebody that scammed them in their own home is surrounded by
cameras.
Cameras.
Yeah. And it's always like, okay, so like, he's a model, obviously. And the reason we haven't met is because he's always in like Milan and Paris and stuff. And they're like, okay, we're going to call him and say like, we'll go to wherever he is. And they're like, okay, where are you? And it's like Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yeah. And always the phones are registered to like Decatur, Georgia. And you're like, okay, this model does not live there.
But yeah, no, Sarah, what would you do on The Circle? I don't think you said.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I don't want to tell people my plan, but fine. This is my plan. So it depends. If I knew that I was coming in the house from the beginning, okay, I think I would be myself because I don't think I could keep up a lie that long.
Right.
But if I came in at the end, you guys are going to see, they're going to throw people at the end in like the 11th hour. And that's impossible because you have to win this popularity contest with these people who've been like talking for weeks without you.
Making alliances.
Literally. I would be my dad because everybody loves my dad. He's fucking hilarious. And I feel like you love older people. You love dads and parents and everybody loves them. So I think that would be my goal, to like try to stay on.
Also, I feel like that's a very unique move. Like, is anybody trying to be
so in
older?
The UK version of The Circle, they had someone who did catfish as an old person and they made it really far until there was like a trivia game about Little Mix, which is like and then the old person knew all everything. The answers.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Honestly,
really shot himself in the foot. They were trying to connect with the youths.
I know.
I want to know how much Little Mix's label paid for that product. That'd be like if there was a Fifth Harmony quiz on,
so
the, on the US one. That is so funny. Yeah, I think you would do well at The Circle.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I know. I'm not going to lie. I did Google, like, is Netflix casting people for The Circle? I can use my PTO for that.
Yeah, it'd be like a fun vacation to the UK. That's where they film it.
Yeah, so, really? Yeah. I'm down.
They use the same apartment building that the UK version did.
But
I guess,
it's weird because then they use all this Chicago B-roll.
I was just going to say, I was trying to figure out from the original footage, I was like, where is that? I think it's Chicago.
When I was reading about the production, not only do they use B-roll of like random American cities, but they also use B-roll of England and flip it so it looks like the cars are driving on the right side.
Stop. Oh my god, this low budget ass show.
I know, it's like so low budget but so entertaining. Okay, so Sarah, you have an interview.
Yes, with Neve and Cammy from Catfish. They're amazing, so take a listen.
Yeah, stay tuned for the interview.
Yeah.
Spring break is around the corner, which means you're going shopping. But don't shop for your big trip and get nothing in return. Make sure you're getting cash back every time you shop with Ibotta. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. So you can make sure you're beating inflation no matter what you're purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip. You can buy that flight you've been eyeing, that game you've been dying to go to, or the fancy dinner that you've been craving. Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code BETCHES when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code BETCHES. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code BETCHES.
Welcome back to At Betches. I'm Sarah Levine, editor-in-chief of Betches. I'm here with Neve Shulman and Cammy Crawford, the hosts of MTV's Catfish
season.
Hey guys, sorry, I got so excited to intro you. Season 8 is out right now on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on MTV, so everybody go watch. This is literally my favorite show for 10 years.
Yes.
Wow.
So excited to have you guys. Neve, for the listeners who have been like under a rock for a long time, can you just explain the origin of the word catfish?
Sure. I don't know exactly how people came up with the original name or word catfish. Obviously, I would imagine it's because fish have whiskers, so that's probably. But if we fast forward a few, you know, hundred years.
Yes. I did not mean the actual name for the fish.
Well, no, I just never really thought about it. So we made a documentary about my relationship with a family on the internet, and while we were there discovering that the person I'd been talking to was very different than they had presented themselves to be, we heard a story about a fisherman who used to travel great distances catching fish and keeping them alive in the bottom of these ships, but over time, because the fish were no longer in their natural environment, they would become sort of lazy, and as a result of not being active, their muscle would break down and they'd become less tasty. So someone had the bright idea of putting some catfish into the vats of the ship to chase the other fish around, the cod, and keep them agile and moving. And in life, there are people who are catfish. So it was really a metaphor for rule breakers or people who think outside the box, and as a result, kind of make waves, if you will, and keep us all kind of guessing and make life interesting.
Interesting for better or for worse, I guess.
Right. So originally it was meant to sort of be up for interpretation.
Okay.
And I still think that it is. I still say it all the time that even at the end of the episode when someone seems heartbroken and they feel as though the whole thing was for nothing, I say, well, it wasn't, because even at the very least, you ended up on this show. This could change your life. You don't know. Like, the butterfly effect of getting catfished can still bring a lot of good.
Right.
But it's obviously now most quickly become associated with people who lie on the internet.
Definitely. And Cammy, you're the new co-host.
Yes.
So excited. What is your personal connection to catfishing?
For now, we'll see.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right. Just got to keep running on toes.
He thinks he's going to get rid of me, and every episode he finds out more and more why I'm so valuable and why he loves me so much.
The fans like her.
You love me.
Oh, my God.
We actually did a polygraph test, and I got to lie detector test him to see. And I asked.
Yeah.
are you happy that I'm your new co-host? And you said yes, and it was the truth.
But didn't I consistently beat the lie detector test that day?
But you were right about that one. Uh-huh.
Anyway,
when you want to believe
it. How is it being a new co-host? Answer the question.
It's incredible. It's like the best job. I get to work with this guy. We're for best better friends or worse now. For better or for worse. But I have always been a longtime fan of Catfish since the documentary. I can name a million episodes. I've seen so many.
She actually straight up remembers episodes of the show better than I do.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I do.
What's your favorite episode?
I don't even remember stuff. And she's like, you don't remember
Kelly
that?
Price, of course, is my
That's
favorite.
What I just said. We had this conversation. It's iconic. Or the one where the guy was catfishing other men to like expose them for cheating. And he's
oh
like,
my God,
you got me there.
Yeah.
You can still be my chocolate kiss.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Those
don't
are
forget
the two
that,
best
baby.
Lines. Yeah,
that's what he said. He was
so good.
Slow clap. Uh-huh. He was
crazy. The slow clap.
But I love that one too. But Fat Ass Kelly Price has to be my favorite.
So good.
Yeah.
So I feel like when Catfish first came out, this was kind of a new concept. Now we new-ish. Now, like, everyone kind of knows about it. Catfish is in the dictionary as this, like, definition. But people are still getting catfished. How do you think this is possible?
Number one question.
I know. Well, when the show first started airing in 2012, it was still a relatively new concept. You know, I mean, obviously, being lied to is not a new concept.
Right.
But we were all still familiarizing ourselves with social media, and online dating was really becoming the sort of way that we now date. And so there was still a lot of uncertainty and growing pains, I think. And now, obviously, it's just a way of life. We all meet people and use social media all the time. But if you think about it, the number of people interacting with each other now digitally is growing still every day. And when you put that many people who all have either some slight sort of fudge on their profile or a slightly larger lie, or they're completely there's so many variables for the way that we can interact with each other now that I think it makes sense that there's only going to be more room and potential for deception.
Yeah. And I always say, like, life is a catfish. Social media, just in general, Instagram is a catfish. You show people what you want them to see. Not necessarily all the bad parts of yourself. So, I mean, you can be catfished by somebody that you know in real life. There have been people that I have known in real life who have told me things about their life, and then I find out that none of it was ever true. You never really know people. That's why it's scary.
Yeah,
almost working
right
on this job is, like, terrifying, because it makes you question people just every day.
Yeah, just even the people you know, mm-hmm, and their highlight reel. I was just like, whoa, I feel like Instagram is.
It is.
So this season has a new twist. Can you tell us a little bit about
it? Since you mentioned Instagram. Wait, did you? Somehow in my head, I've been thinking something
that
I want to just get out.
Here we go.
And
let
I just felt extremely that was an opportunity. Like, even Instagram bios. Well, we were joking about it because I know you guys like The Bachelor. Some of these people's professions, like, those aren't even real professions.
Oh, yeah,
what does
like
that mean?
Social media participants.
Recently, the thing that I've noticed that bothers me the most is when, and it's obviously usually models, but they'll write "Made in Brazil" as their bio.
Who is doing that?
Well,
I
Brazilian
see that a
models.
Lot, actually. At least
it's
one.
Like, what does that even mean?
Does it mean you're born in Brazil?
I mean, I know what it means, but that's
like,
not like, I don't know, something about that just
it's weird.
Frustrates me.
I like when people are like NYC pin, LA pin, Denver.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no,
okay,
you
chill
don't.
Out. You grew up in Denver. You went to college in LA. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not like bi-coastal.
No. Chill out.
Right.
Yeah. There's so many ways people lie on Instagram.
Like, you
it's
live
ridiculous.
In Milwaukee. You've
I've
been
also
to New York.
Right. It's like, okay, you spent a week there.
Yeah.
Chill out. Exactly. I also think thank those you. Presets are crazy. I watched this girl. She literally did a side-by-side of a photo where she was kind of in front of like just a dirt patch with like water behind it, and uh-huh, she edited it
whoa
to make it look like she was at the beach. It was nuts to me.
Excuse me.
Well, that's
I'm like,
how
this wizardry? But it wasn't even Photoshop. It was literally just all these presets that she did with the lighting and the contrast.
This is everything is a catfish.
Yes.
I catfish. I don't have a problem with it. If I want to use Facetune, I want to use Facetune. If I want to, you know, do my makeup in drag, that's what I want to do. Who's going to stop me? You? I don't think so.
I mean, he might.
It's useless. Anyway, so let's, sorry, I sidetracked.
Oh, good, no,
us.
That was a great diversion.
So Brazilian models, chill out.
Yeah, so don't DM Neve to say you're made in Brazil. Just don't do it.
They're not DMs. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm not getting DMs from Brazilian models.
You're just lurking and you're seeing it.
I just noticed it a few times, yeah.
All right. Makes sense. But back to the twist of this new season. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cammy being the fixture co-host now is bringing a whole new energy to the show. But this season, you know, over the years we've had a number of episodes where people wrote in on behalf of their friend or sister or cousin or whatever.
Yep.
But that seems to be happening more and more, so much so that we had enough stories. I mean, we're still finding them, but there's enough stories of people writing in on behalf of someone else that we thought we could make that sort of the theme of the season. And that actually tends to be a lot of the messages I get separate that don't even air are people who are like, what do I do? My mom's been talking to this guy. He's so obviously a catfish, but she's investing all this time and she sent him all this money and she won't give up. She won't listen to me, or my friend won't listen to me. Like, I've been hearing this a lot. Because, yeah, you're right. It's easy not to get catfished now in terms of the technology available and the sort of the knowability
from even watching.
And yet, people still choose to sort of ignore the red flags and dig into these relationships, so much so that only someone close to them can, you know, intervene or has to intervene.
See the truth.
I see that. Was there any particular decision that led you guys to go in that direction versus people submitting their own stories?
I mean, people still submit their own stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it became so obvious to us that this was a theme that was happening in the real world.
Yeah.
And so in an effort to give the season a new energy and sort of really kind of a tagline, if you will, I think, and it's not really our choice because we don't have anything to do with the casting of it. They just sort of thought like, oh, this is a great theme for a season.
Yeah.
You know, friends sort of writing in on behalf of someone they care about.
Yeah, agreed.
But even sometimes if you do write on behalf of yourself, like sometimes people write in and they're like, I just really want to meet this person. I think they are who they say they are. My friends say they're not. Then we meet up with the friends and the friends are like, we can't get it through to them that this person is fake. But then in addition to friends and family writing in this season, we have like an anonymous tip.
Oh, that's true. We have a couple. Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Can we?
Is this a spoiler?
It's next week's episode.
Which one was it?
This one was Jesus.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah. Nuts.
Wait, but who did we find out who wrote in?
Yeah, we met up with her.
Oh, it was okay. Yeah. Why didn't? Why was
so
she?
Good
anonymous?
Thing he has you.
She was anonymous because they used to be friends, and she like didn't want.
I don't remember. Honestly, I don't remember.
He never remembers anything.
Cammy's the memory
this
of the show.
Crazy.
She is. Yeah.
I am. He says I'm an encyclopedia of useless information because I know, but it becomes useful.
That's true.
This is helpful now.
She's just an encyclopedia of information that is useless until
you need it.
You need it.
Yeah, but isn't all information that way?
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Every time.
Yeah. Impractical, practically impractical, yes. Something like that.
That works.
Yes.
So on that kind of note, this is something that I've literally been wondering since I watched the show, because you have these people who are catfishing other people. They won't even meet up when the stakes are very low, when it's like you and me, let's go to a cafe.
Right.
What motivates them to actually reveal themselves on camera for national television when they know they're about to get caught in a lie?
I think a part of it is safety. Like, you feel like you're in a more safe environment when we're around and there's camera people around, and like, you know, you feel like nothing bad is going to happen to you. You're going to have to face the music and it's going to be tough, but at the same time, like, you have people around you, there's obviously cameras watching, so everything is recorded, versus like meeting up with someone at a Red Lobster and they have no idea, and then, you know,
there's cameras at Red Lobster.
I mean, yeah, but are they working? We don't know.
That makes sense. You guys do sometimes kind of act as, or you do often act as like these mediators.
Yeah, I mean, I also think there's a shared desire amongst everyone throughout humanity to be heard, to tell your story. You know, most people who have been creating a fake profile or lying for years are hiding something that they're afraid to talk about, but that they want to express. And they either try to express it through this fake profile, or they don't feel like there's anyone they can talk to as themselves. So they do, you know, whatever it is. So the show serves as an ear for them to finally have someone sit down and say, what's going on? Why did you do this? How are you really feeling? And that's something that people need.
Yeah. Definitely. There's two sides to every story, and then there's the truth, obviously. But, like, even recently we've had it where the person who's being catfished, so the hopeful, you know, obviously you meet up with the catfish, you have questions, and you are angry, and, like, you want to pop off.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the person catfishing has a story, too, that needs to be told, and, like, we have to create a safe space for them to be able to be heard. And, like, people have backgrounds and stories that you may not know about because they obviously didn't tell you the truth.
Yeah. But there are success stories sometimes. Are there any that stand out to you that are still, like, positive relationships that happened? Or,
well, we have one catfish baby.
Kittenfish.
There was,
oh, yeah, my God.
There's one couple. I don't know if you remember, and I won't remember their names right now, but a white girl was talking to a white guy,
mm-hmm,
and turned out he was actually a black guy. And he didn't, you know, he likes white women and felt like he'd have a better chance of meeting and starting a relationship if he were pretending to be white.
And some self-hate issues.
Well, yeah, that also. But when we met him, most of what he had told her was true, obviously, except for the pictures he was using. And she was cool with it. They got together, and then not long after, they had a baby.
That is so cute.
Yeah, oh, and gosh, as far as I know, they're still together, so.
Yay.
It was not only was it a happy ending, it was a legit catfish.
Yeah, it was.
Also happy ending.
Because there's sometimes when it's, like, against all odds, the person is who they say they are, and they really did have a broken webcam for 6 years or whatever.
Right, or they're really who they said they are, but they were doing this to get back at them for something.
Yeah.
Well, even last night's episode was a happy ending, and that one was
oh, yeah,
the DNA test one.
It was a sister.
I just watched that. Yeah. So
that was
crazy.
A happy ending. That was an emotional ending for me.
Yeah.
But not romance.
Not romance, yeah. No.
No. But that, I mean, that's still a good twist. It's not always romance. Yeah. I thought that was cool. What's the most, like, ridiculous excuse you've gotten from a catfish for either, like, not meeting up or just, like, I don't know, ghosting you guys?
They died.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That was me.
Yes.
That was last season, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We had a story where the girl said someone had texted on behalf of her. So the catfish had someone text the person they'd been talking to and say, "I'm so sorry to tell you this, but you know your friend has died."
Oh my God.
And then, like, days later.
Mm-hmm. He came back to life.
They were undead and said, "I didn't actually die." Or, I don't remember what.
Oh boy.
Something about cocaine. Like, I was in a coma.
So that's
a
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The keys.
Right. There was It was a lot of, there was a drug score involved or something.
Oh man.
Very dramatic.
Yeah. Very dramatic.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So what can you tell us about the aftermath when that happened? Or has it not aired yet?
Oh yeah, that aired a little while ago.
That was last season.
Well, I don't remember.
Well, of course I do.
I'm like, how do you buy that? Because I feel like that comes up a lot. They pretend to die.
Yeah.
And people are like, okay, sure, this checks out.
Well, and then the friend comes in to console.
Oh,
and that's
generally always the
who
person.
It's actually, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she ended up being the one who was catfishing as this guy that, you know, was like this gorgeous Navajo.
Charlene. Right. That was the Native American episode. Yes. That was so,
Damn, I have to watch that one. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something I personally noticed, but I feel like so many episodes take place in or around Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
What is the deal? I used to live there, and so I'm like, what is the deal with this place? Why is it like the catfish capital?
There's Catlanta. Some hot spots.
Catlanta. Oh my God, you heard it here first.
I don't know. I mean, I think I've tried to understand why. I think there's something to do with a combination of population density,
mm-hmm,
but also a sort of rural vibe. I mean, obviously Atlanta is a city, but a lot of people live outside Atlanta, and it's, you know, pretty rural in some of those places. So, so access to different types of people and culture, you know, isn't necessarily easy. But also, I think because Atlanta is the South, and there still is, unfortunately, a stigma against expressing yourself, certainly in terms of sexuality,
mm-hmm,
I think that ends up leading a lot of people to exploring their identity through fake profiles.
Yeah,
and that perhaps has a lot to do with. Also, Texas is a big state for us.
Mm. Michigan.
Florida. Well, right.
Florida.
But the South does tend to have people looking to sort of figure out who they are and how they want to relate to people in ways that are, you know, less honest or more catfishy, because I guess people don't feel comfortable in their communities doing or being themselves.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I feel like growing up on the East Coast and now living in LA, it's like, because I lived in New York for a long time. When you think about America, if you're from one of those coasts, it's kind of like you just think of the two coasts and you forget about all the middle area. Mm-hmm. So we're driving for hours at a time during some episodes, and there's a lot of bare land. There's a lot of really small towns. Yeah. And if all you have is your internet connection and you've dated, like, you know, your high school boyfriend lives next door and, like, you can't escape and it's impossible to find people, like, new people and fresh energy.
Right. Well, and plus, if you live in a small town and you're looking, and I'm sure you are on Instagram, at the types of people that are considered beautiful and sexy and you don't look like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, I'm sure, easy to find yourself thinking, well, if I want to get that kind of attention, I need to pretend to look like that. And, yeah. you know, I can see how that type of catfishing happens.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of episodes, this always gets thrown out as a theory. It's like, maybe we're dealing with a family of catfish. Have you guys ever dealt with a family of catfish?
Family? Well, I did. Well, actually, technically not, because it was sort
That's
of
true.
Just
you
one.
That's true. You
kind
of
well, but we've had groups. I know we had like three friends that were catfishing once. That was an episode that Max actually did with someone else. But that was one. That was like, I'm trying to think
That's
if there was.
That's what
else.
I'm always watching out for. Is like. For me, the holy grail of a catfish episode.
Like a whole right. family that's catfishing?
Well, that's yeah, because, all in on it.
Yeah, it's like when you plug in the numbers, it's like, oh, this is registered to like X Levine, but there's also Y Levine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right. maybe we're having a family of catfish.
Yeah.
It's like, it's never usually a family.
Isn't well, your last name Levine?
Yeah, that's why I used it.
Levine family.
I was like, let me just pick a safe
last name.
Hold on a
second. Are you trying to tell us
Are you
something?
Oh, shoot. I exposed myself. Oh, sorry, guys.
There was one where the husband and wife, the wife who was having like health issues yes. with Charlemagne on it.
That's right. That's right.
That episode.
That's the one where, right, the husband came down and invited me into the house. Yeah. And I went up and it was his wife had been doing it. I don't know that he was doing it with her, but he was like aware of it.
I think he had talked to her on the phone.
Oh, yeah. He had been the voice. So, yeah, we had an episode where a husband and wife were in on it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Love it.
Yeah.
So I guess just kind of wanting to pivot to just general like internet scams.
Sure.
Is that something that interests you guys? Just
yeah.
Like, yes.
What is your favorite scam that you either tried to get scammed for or you're looking out for?
The newest one is military okay. members. For some reason, mostly like middle-aged women are being targeted in this kind of scam where these guys are contacting them on Plenty of Fish, seems to be like the app.
Yeah.
And they're saying, hey, I'm in the military. I'm stationed in Timbuktu. I need money and I need a car and I need this and I need that. Like, can you send it? And they're sending it because
no.
they think that they're in real relationships, but it's not. It's all fake. It's a scam.
Hey, don't send money on the internet.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
That Neve is not running at all.
No. I mean, they're all terrible. I mean, yeah. You don't hear about a lot of them because they're actual criminals. And then...
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I wish we could do more. I mean, I can't tell you how many emails and messages I get all the time that are from people saying something terrible has been happening via yeah. an internet scam relationship thing. And I called the police and I tried to get in touch with the FBI and no one can help us and we don't know what to do. Maybe you can help. And I, you know, if police can't help you.
Yeah.
There's not much I can do. But
catfish can't help you. Yeah. That is disappointing. But
let's talk about fair. Brad.
Yes.
And
Brad
Jen.
And
can
Jen.
We please?
Which
That's
could
why
be
we're
another
here,
scam
right?
that they might be getting
That's
back
why
together.
We're here.
That's why we're here.
So first I was on board for this completely. After the SAG Awards, after I saw like that whole interaction, I was like, yes, like this is what we need. And then I started thinking the other
like,
day, I was like, why did they break up? And then I started mm-hmm. rehashing the memories that he basically like stepped out on that relationship.
Right.
And was dealing with Angelina Jolie filming Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
But more importantly, and I'm sure it didn't go unnoticed, Brad admitted to having a Tinder profile.
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
In his acceptance
speech.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he said when he got the award, he was like, now I got to put this on my Tinder profile.
I think that was a shout out to Jen to be like, I'm single.
Well, that's what,
Ooh.
Right. And then yes. more importantly now, it suggests that if Brad's on Tinder, can we get him on Catfish? Because, like, you know.
Yes. Yes. There's somebody out there who thinks they're talking to Brad Pitt now.
Right. Yeah. And then there's someone who might actually be talking to Brad Pitt, but how can you know? How can you possibly know?
I know some girls who
got kicked off Tinder when I was single because people just kept assumed I wasn't me.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh.
But now they have verification, I think.
Oh, really?
I feel like some other celebrity just got kicked off Bumble, too. Oh, my God. But don't they have that dating app for famous people?
They do. Raya.
So, yeah, he should be on it.
Yeah, but that's not even, it's like watered down now. I think it's like,
I've never been on any apps. Thank God. I'm too scared.
That is so if you see a Cammy profile
that's right.
on
there
Tinder.
There is one on Tinder.
Oh. Are you serious? Yes. Okay, well, that's picture. A catfish.
And if you see me on a dating profile, it's also not me.
Yes. Yes, since we know that right. you're married.
Well, yeah. I mean, that doesn't, hey.
Just in case.
There are plenty of people who are, I'm sure, are married and on dating apps.
It's true. Well, thank you guys on that thank note. You. Thank you guys so much for coming in. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And be sure to tune into Catfish Season 8, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on MTV.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, guys, that's the show. Thank you for listening to At Betches. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Give us 5 stars. Thank you.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Mike Coscarelli. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Betches on Instagram. Betches.